Hi, this is Dr. Tim Turlip from Turlip Chiropractic. Wanting to invite you every Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock to listen to 30 Minutes to Vitality, where we'll discuss topics of interest that will affect your health and mine and how we express greater wellness and well-being. If you happen to miss a live episode at 11 o'clock, you can hear it again at drturlip.com, where all podcasts are posted there and available at any time, day or night. So look forward to spending time with you every Wednesday at 11 o'clock for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
And look at that. It's 5-6 minutes now past the hour of 11 o'clock, and it is time for your 30 Minutes to Vitality with Dr. Tim Turlip in the studios with us this afternoon, as always, every Wednesday, 11 to 11:30, your chance to ask the experts live on air or off air. It's up to you. Whatever your question, comment, or concern is, we will put you through to him on the air or off. But Dr. Tim is here to take care of you, and that's why he's in the area. Dr. Tim Turlip, Turlip Chiropractic. His office is, of course, located 8466 North Cliff Boulevard, Spring Hill, Florida, 34606, and you can call them at 352-666-2222 or call us here at the studio. Catch him while he's here, 352-796-7272 with your question. Without further ado, your health and wellness depends on it. Your 30 Minutes of Vitality begins now with Dr. Tim Turlip on JB.
Good morning, JW.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon, and all that other good
and
stuff.
All the good things, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
It's a great day out there.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So, yeah, last week we spent a little time talking about sunshine because of all the gorgeous sunshine we're getting and the warmth creeping up on us and everybody wanting to get outside. This morning, again, I had to chuckle. We talked about that last week. I drove out of my neighborhood and had to avoid, you know, hitting about eight people who were outside the house and, you know, on their bikes, walking around. Just you can see the life coming back into people.
Sure.
So we talked about sunshine, and, and one of the things that sunshine does is actually facilitates or enhances that natural healing mechanism that we have in our body.
Yes.
And we've talked about that before, but we're going to spend a little bit of time, I think, today talking about it because it actually stimulated a little discussion in our office this week on sunshine. You know, I had a couple of people go, well, I'm at a loss. How does sunshine, as a chiropractic doctor, and you're talking to me about getting out in the sun, and it just seems kind of weird. What's that about?
Mm-hmm.
And the show's called 30 Minutes to Vitality.
Yep.
And we say almost every single week that it's because we're either getting something that we don't need or we're not getting what we do that interferes with the body's innate expression of wellness.
Right.
Right. And we call it innate intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And intelligence means that ability to organize. If you look it up from our friend Daniel Webster, he'll say one of the definitions is the ability to organize.
Right.
And one of the things that we'd have to say, if you looked at us, we'd have to say we are miraculously organized in our well-being.
Yeah.
If I took your blood today, I took your blood next week, I took your blood the next week and the next week, regardless of pretty much what you were eating during the month, your glucose, your saline, your salt levels, your cholesterol, all the blood levels that we look at, your liver enzymes, all these weird things in your blood would be just about the same.
Okay.
So how is it, regardless of you only got 3 hours of sleep tonight and 12 hours of sleep last night, and you had pizza tonight, and yet the next day you had salads and broccoli all day, and you did all these different things, but yet all of that stays relatively static over any shorter period of time?
Okay.
How?
Yeah.
You drink a gallon of water. Why don't I blow up like a balloon? Right? If I drink all this extra water today, I drink a gallon and a half of water today, which would be okay on one day. Right, but I do that in the day and I drink that gallon and a half of water, but yet I don't blow up like a balloon. How is it that my body does that?
Mm.
It's part of that regulatory, my blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
How do, when I start running, you know, I'm not a real big cat fan, big ugly cat, right? Jumps out of, I don't know, in Panama, it jumps out of the jungle and scares the heck out of me and I start running away. How does my body monitor the ability to increase its blood pressure, shunt the blood to the muscles that I need to, take away the stuff from my organs because I don't need to digest food right then?
Right.
Because I'm going to be digested as food if I don't get away.
Right.
Right. And that sort of thing. How does my body know to increase its heart rate, increase the respiration rate, constrict blood vessels, increase my blood pressure, increase my memory of the event, all these things that happen all at one time? How does that happen?
Oh, I would think the little computer system that we have running up and down our spine throughout the nervous system, running
exactly
into the brain.
Right. Yeah. The nervous system, right?
Yep.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what carries that innate intelligence, that fancy thing that we call homeostasis.
There you go.
But there's that word again, homeostasis.
Yeah,
we've never
broken
that down. Homeo means similar.
Right.
That's the Latin that means similar, and stasis means to be stable.
Okay.
So it's to have a similar, stable system,
yeah,
regardless of what happens on the upside or the downside. So it's a mouthful word to say homeostasis.
Right, right.
But that's all it means is my body regulates itself and moves towards balance, towards stability.
Okay.
So if I get scared and I have to fight or flight, my body does one thing. If it's time for me to close my eyes and it's time for me to rest and become quiet, my body is a whole different set of things in that eventuality.
Mm-hmm.
So my body works towards moving to well-being all the time. It's an amazing thing. And again, so we call it that innate intelligence as organization.
Mm-hmm.
So if you right now were to draw our blood, and if I dare say I could draw the blood of anybody who's listening, right, we'd actually look at our liver enzymes, and we have the same body of number of liver enzymes in the same structure. Your liver enzymes are the same chemical structure as mine, in approximately the same serologic blood levels in yours as everybody listening, unless we become ill and we move away from that homeostatic, that steady state.
Okay.
Right? They're going to be the same quantity roughly. They're going to be the exact same chemical structure. Your cardiac enzymes, your red blood cells, all the red blood cells in your body. It's one of my favorite numbers. I'll joke and I'll say, this is cocktail party talk. And it's just one of those dumb numbers where the body is producing typically yours, mine, JR's, Barbara's, anybody here in the studio is producing about 2 million red blood cells per second.
Cool.
And each of those red blood cells will live for 120 days.
Wow.
So they don't live for 90 days, and then some of them live for 152 days, and some of them live for 120 days.
No kidding.
Now, plus or minus 8 to 12 hours, right?
Okay.
But that's what they do, and the body clears them in your body when they get old, the same way that they do mine, how we eliminate them and make new ones.
Yes.
Right? It's an amazing thing. If I go, again, intelligently, I go to ski at Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
Or snowmass or someplace in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
right? And I go to elevation. I'm at 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 feet,
mm-hmm.
right? And I stay there for a week or two. Anybody who's done that knows the first day or two you get there, you might feel a little weird, right? Because,
sure.
again, the oxygen levels up there are less than what we have down here at sea level.
Right.
Right? So we feel a little funky because the air's thinner. But then our bodies respond. We start producing more and more red blood cells. Now, if I checked your red blood cells up there and the density of your red blood cells was higher compared to me living down here, I might say, ooh, you've got there's a condition where we have excess red blood cells. Who cares what it's called?
Uh-huh.
Right? You've got this disease. Well, no, I don't. My body's responding to my being at altitude by producing more red blood cells to carry the lesser quantities of oxygen to the tissues of my organs, to my brain, so everything runs.
Mm-hmm.
Again, how does the body do that?
Yeah.
That intelligence that's in there. It's that foundational part of creation, of who you and I are, right? That responds to our environment to actually adapt to what is.
I got you.
Right? So
I'm trying to follow you here, and I got you. I'm right on board.
Okay. So that's right, that whole, that's that intelligent, that organizational ability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's kind of incredible, too, when you stop and you think about you and I being born. We come from two cells that are microscopic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And your head is sitting on your shoulders, as is mine. Sometimes my wife says my head is someplace else. We won't go there. But right, that your head is on your shoulders. Your ears are slapped on the side of your head, as are mine. My shoulders are here. So are yours. So is everybody else's that are listening. Fingers are attached to the ends. Elbows don't end up in my eye.
Uh-huh.
My teeth, upper teeth are growing down. My lower teeth are growing up. Right. So are yours. Right, so how is it you're organized? Your parents, I don't know where you grew up. New York. Boston, wherever, you know, I'm from Indiana, other people right here from the Hernando County area. My goodness gracious, why is it? How can your body be so similar in so many ways to mine? Your parents didn't know my parents. They didn't grow up in the same place.
Right.
But yet our bodies are constructed, organized in the same way. The enzymes are the same. The blood cells are the same. The white cells are the same. Your heart is sitting in the same place in your chest. And that's why when we study anatomy and physiology and that sort of thing in grad school, I can study that knowing that the people I'm going to look at are going to be this way.
Right.
Because they're organized.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if I ran across a friend of mine, showed me his new work garage.
Mm.
It wasn't a work garage. It was a man's. My gosh.
Yeah.
It had his, it's so big. The thing is like 80 by 40. With ceilings that are 40 feet high and a workout room attached to it. I was like, this isn't a workspace. This is crazy. Every guy would give his left arm to have
That's heaven.
It's heaven.
Right. And you walk through that, and he had all those Stanley benches, and everything had a place. Everything was organized. Everything was exactly where it needed to be, and he could put his hands on it, as are you and I. Uh-huh. The body is designed to grab everything it needs at any given moment, at any given day or night. Mm. And it cycles the same way for each of us. It's kind of an amazing thing.
It is.
So when we don't have things that we need, the body doesn't have the building blocks to intelligently then engage and adapt. Mm-hmm. Right? So if the body has a stressor, let's say that same cat jumps out of the jungle at you and it wants to chase you, but you haven't been drinking enough water. Mm-hmm. So what happens to the volume of your blood when it tries to elevate the blood pressure and then you start to perspire to try to cool, but you don't have enough water? Mm-hmm. Well, the body will intelligently try to adapt,
right?
But it only has so much water to work with.
True.
So then you can end up in a failure state where all of a sudden your muscles, then you go into cramps, you're running,
right?
And all of a sudden your leg muscles cramp, you fall down, you are now cat food.
Okay.
Right? Because you didn't have the building block. Enough water that your body required for the innate intelligence to work. Hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
On its simplest level, if we thought about food, starvation, right? My intelligence is there, but this is a very gross example. But if I don't have enough food, my body can't thrive.
Right.
You don't give me food for the next 30 days, right? By the end of that 30 days, I've got muscle wasting. I've got all kinds. I'm still alive, thank God.
Yeah.
As long as I have water, I'm still here, but I'm going to have all kinds of changes in my body. Mm-hmm. Because my body's going, I don't have the building blocks.
Right.
And it will fail ultimately, though the innate intelligence is doing its thing without the food. Ultimately, I'll starve and die.
Well, you know, and you watch a lot of these TV. I don't watch as much TV. I mean, I watch too much TV, but not as much as some others. Too much, actually. We watch too much. But anyway, you see these programs where they drop these folks off in the middle of nowhere. They, you know,
sure.
undressed, and they've got to try and make their way and survive.
I'm naked and afraid. Absolutely, yeah.
And it's always comes down to what do we need the most, protein and water. And they go looking for something to eat, and they got looking for water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fundamentals to actually get by.
Yeah.
To give the body the fundamental building blocks it needs. Mm-hmm. So what are those? When we talk about the innate intelligence, we talk about vitality, and we say if you're not getting enough of something or too much of something. Yep. Conversely, what if I have too much food?
Right.
We're keeping this grossly, really in broad strokes.
Yeah.
All right. So if I have too much food and I'm consuming too much food, what happens to me? Well, then I start to get heavy. My body has excess calories. Even if they're the right calories, and I've got way too many of them, my body says, what am I supposed to do with all this?
Right.
Well, you know what? Maybe later I'm not going to have enough, so I'm going to store it.
Store it, right.
Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden my butt gets big, my belly gets big, my face gets round, my everything gets big because I start storing adipose fat all over my body because I have too much of a building block that my body doesn't need that either. So that starts to interfere. So then I have to grow new blood vessels and my glucose levels change. Mm. The vascularity changes. The workload on my cardiac output change. Everything changes.
Definitely.
The body gets burdened in huge ways. Mm-hmm. And we get sick on lots of levels because, again, we're getting too much of something that we need. Mm-hmm. So that's just a really easy example to see when I don't have any food or I have too much food.
Yeah.
And that same intelligence is working, but isn't given the tools properly to do what it does. So what are the five foundational things that actually affect innate intelligence, these homeostatic mechanisms, so it can do its thing and do it properly? Mm-hmm. Well, one that we've talked a bunch about is nutrition.
Right.
Right. Now, whether it's the quantities, right, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But then also when we looked at the qualities, right, so we've got plenty of, you know, beans and legumes and vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds and limited proteins and that sort of thing. So the proper foods are given so the body has the building blocks to build, right, the things that it actually needs,
right?
So great, anabolism it's called. So we have the building side of our bodies that has the ability to do that, right? Great. So there's food. Another one we talk about, and you just mentioned it a little bit, but the nervous system is proper neurologic coordination. Mm-hmm. Because how does my body know it needs the oxygen? How does it know it needs to increase its respiratory rate, to increase sweat, to do all these weird things, right? With all these sensors that are throughout my body. I had a patient who actually, I don't know when it was, a few months ago, and it was really great. He goes, it's sort of like a smart house, where a smart house monitors the air conditioning, monitors water temperature, water flow, the blinds, and you can have light sensors in your house now where actually the blinds automatically go up and down based on the level of light that you've said that you want in the house.
Yeah.
And I was like, It's crazy stuff that houses can do these days.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, and he goes, it's like a smart house, all this stuff that monitors everything. And then the computers automatically respond to the parameters that are set up.
I just got a flashback to HAL 2001 Space.
Oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Right. And for those of us who are older, we get that. Right? But it's one of those things that, you know, I go, I said, you got it. And I, with him, I said, what happens if those sensors can't communicate with the main computer?
Right.
Or the information that comes from the light sensor in the house to automatically adjust your blinds up and down. They even have them, like the leveler blinds that actually fold in and out. I said, are you kidding me? It's crazy.
It is.
I said, so what happens if the communication either shuts down completely or it gets garbled? Ever had your Wi-Fi network where it's slow and you get it's goofy and it gets stuck and it ratchets?
Or you're trying to stream something online.
And it doesn't work as well. So what happens if the computer gets this bad information from the sensors?
Right.
Right? The computer will then respond inappropriately.
Okay.
They could be the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's turning all the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's actually said, well, there's not enough light. Let me turn the lights
on.
Right. But you said, no. At night from these hours to these, but it actually responds inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
It draws the water temperature changes and becomes too hot or too cold because the sensors are goofy. Right? So the things, if the communication is aberrant, if it's faulty, the computer responds poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things with the nervous system, because if the nervous system gets poor information, it responds inappropriately.
Okay.
Right. So then there's neurologic control.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then we look at rest. Right. One of the things people will kind of chuckle and go, well, rest isn't that big a deal. I have a friend of mine. He's a, can it be a type AAA personality?
Mm-hmm.
He's not just a type A. He's AAA plus. Right. And one of his, he'll say all the time, his name's Danny. And Danny will, he'll go, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Now, let me stop you there for a second. You didn't say sleep. You said rest.
And sleep.
Okay.
But so, there's both.
Okay.
Right?
Right, there is.
An interesting way we think of rest, and I always use the word recreation, recreate.
Sure.
Right? Oh, yeah. It comes from the word, but it's recreate.
We need that.
I'm engaged in recreation. Well, why do you think it's called recreation?
Yep.
Right? Because we need rest. We need downtime.
Yep.
Again, for the engine to calm, to rejuvenate, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'll get into one of the other pillars about emotion and thought.
Okay.
Right? So when we look at rest and sleep,
mm-hmm.
right, it's absolutely appropriate. People will think, that's not that big of a deal. Yeah, I feel better. Yeah, my attitude's a little better. But I can, quote unquote, get by
mm-hmm.
on 5 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I get by on 6 hours of sleep. Well, we've got all kinds of research now that will show things like cancer
mm-hmm.
being dramatically affected. Immune dysfunction. Where you can't fight infections and colds and flus and pneumonias and other types of things, skin infections, et cetera, because the immune system is adversely affected with too little sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, my goodness, a woman who gets only 6 hours of sleep for a long period of time will be almost 30% more likely to get breast cancer.
Wow.
What? No. Yeah.
I believe it.
People go, from sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's one of the pillars that allows the innate intelligence of the body to rejuvenate, to recoup, and then be able to respond after it gets jazzed up, if I can use that expression, right? And then also conversely, too much, too little, too much. It's mm-hmm. always the same thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Unrest, sleep. That same woman who gets 9.5 or more hours of sleep for an extended period of time
mm-hmm.
is also about 28% more likely to get breast cancer from too much sleep.
Wow.
What? Seriously? Seriously.
Wow.
It's incredible stuff.
It is.
We look at diabetics or people with blood sugar problems. Mm-hmm. Research shows us that just one night where we get 4 hours less sleep than we're supposed to will decrease cellular receptivity to glucose
mm-hmm.
by 40%.
Hmm.
Wait a minute. One night with 4 hours too little and my cells aren't as receptive to glucose? That's correct. Then your body starts pumping out more insulin, starts
mm-hmm.
doing, and it starts the vicious cycle. Wait a minute. You mean I could become a diabetic from too little sleep? It's a contributing factor in a big way.
Wow.
Right? So there's...
It blew my mind.
It's one of those things that we don't want to think about.
Right.
Right? That
of course
sleep
not.
Is critical to well-being and this homeostasis, this innate intelligence expressing and controlling and coordinating our bodies.
Right.
Right? So we started with the nervous system,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
with exercise, and we've got rest and sleep. Another one that we've talked about on many occasions is exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To move, because literally for all of those homeostatic we talked about in the past, how the nervous system is absolutely functions on movement. If we do not move, the nervous system cannot do what it does. All of these mechanisms that the body uses cannot work without proper movement and adequate movement.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
The vascular system, the way we pump our blood through our bodies, can't work, which then dramatically affects the lymphatic system, which is how we eliminate waste and white cell work and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That can't work properly either. Movement, exercise is absolutely essential to our well-being. We've got to have that. And again, it's critical. The last one, and this one's a bit more esoteric, because sleep blows people's mind when we get into the research on it.
Right.
And you go, oh my God, I no one ever told me.
That's right.
So when mom said, go to bed, or when Ben Franklin said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, Ben knew what he was talking about.
Yep.
Right? But the fifth pillar of well-being and innate expression is then attitude.
Okay.
Emotion.
Okay.
Thought. Uh-huh. Right. And it's what's incredible that people go, okay, yeah, I get it that, you know, if I'm an angry guy and I'm always, you know, irritated by everything, my coffee's too cold, dang it, rah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I have a couple people I know who are like that. Everything that's not perfect becomes a gigantic issue.
Makes sense, yeah.
With lots of grousing and complaining and kvetching and just, you know, it's all that stuff. Right, where you get stuck in traffic, somebody's driving too slowly, it's the, oh my God, and the hands go up in the air. You know, well, learn to drive, you jerk, and all that kind of, I mean, I have one friend, I don't hang around him too much because he makes me uncomfortable, right? But everything is a problem.
Right.
Everything is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the research that will show so many situations that actually will affect the way we actually express our immune function works, how we vibrate, if I can use that expression.
Sure.
Right? It's an amazing thing with thought. Research showing hugs. People who get a hug, there's things different, enkephalins and endorphins, that actually get significantly elevated. You get enough hugs, these good chemicals that make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's listening will put down their walls just for a moment, knows when you get that really great hug from that person who just exudes warmth and gives you that hug, and anybody not felt themselves...
True.
Just relax, and your shoulders go down. Just to go, wow.
Yeah.
Right. Get that 6-8 times a day, and give that 6-8 times a day, and the changes in our blood levels of these endorphins dramatically changes. Happiness thoughts, we've actually been able to show, significantly change the levels of certain white cells in our blood. Right. We do research where they show videos and they do all this stuff. They even get to the point where they actually show horrible videos of maiming and, I mean, scary, disgusting things, and then measure these chemicals as well.
Sure, science.
Absolutely. And we'll see all these good cells start to go down and the bad cells start to elevate.
Right.
So what we think about, what we allow into our minds, and what we express will also dramatically affect us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really the five basic pillars. We've got the nutrition, we've got the neurologic, we've got the rest, and the sleep, we've got the exercise, and we've also got attitude and thought. And it's the excesses or the paucities, the lack of things in any one of those five categories, affects the ability of the body to just innately, naturally, homeostatically, right, express that well-being that you and I were created with. I didn't have to ask. I didn't know to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't know to ask.
Well, sure.
Right? Well, when I'm scared, would you make sure that my body does these certain things?
Right.
I didn't know to do that. When I get exposed to a virus, if I've been doing all the right things, please have the right white cells in my body that will fight that off so I don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I start to develop cancer cells in my body, please have my immune system fight those off, kill them, and get rid of them so I don't develop the cancer.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't even know to ask these things.
Right.
They were just the gift. They're in me.
Amen.
They're in you.
Yeah.
They're in each of us. And it's innate.
Mm.
That intelligence, that organizational ability is there. We just got to let it out by not too much, by not too little of those five pillars that we looked at. And that's really what chiropractic care, and that's what Turlop Chiropractic is all about. To help, yes, people feel better, but then also to express that greater potential so we can enjoy what we were designed to enjoy.
And if you're not getting that type of care from your doctor or your chiropractor, time to see Dr. Tim Turlop. Give him a call at 352-666-2222. And once again, this has been your 30 Minutes of Vitality, heard every Wednesday at this time on JB Radio. Thanks, folks. Have a good day.